be uncomfortable together. So let me read the passage one more time, and I'll pray for us. So Joshua 24, verse 23, verse 14. Now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord has spoken concerning you has failed. All has been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Heavenly Father, today we are closing a chapter in our church, God, and we're moving into a new season. And we ask, God, that in a time when we don't know what's going to happen, that you would give us faith, that you would help us to trust in you, God, that you would help us to look at what you've done in order for us to move forward. And so, God, may your spirit be upon me as I speak your word. May your spirit be upon them, God, as they receive it. I praise them like that. So, today's message is going to sort of double as a little farewell for me. So I'm going to take a literal and metaphorical page from Joshua. So in this passage, if you don't know who Joshua is, he's the leader of Israel who succeeded Moses. And here he is at the end of his, not only the end of his ministry with them, but the end of his life. I'm not dying, I'm just leaving. But you guys can make the comparison. So Joshua's here, he's getting ready to leave, you know, whatever way, and I'm getting ready to leave. And here he's saying, Israel, remember everything God has done for you up to this point. Remember. And Joshua was there from the beginning. If you read Exodus, you'll understand that he was Moses' like servant when he was a young man, all the way up to when they crossed Canaan, which is 40 years in the desert, and he's led Israel some 50 years now, and here's at the end of his life. And he's telling the generation that came across the River Jordan with him, and maybe the second, third, and fourth generation of children that have grown up and have heard the stories, and he's reminding them, God has done so many wonderful works for us, Israel. Look, the manna he provided from the sky. Remember all the kings and all the nations that he brought low and gave into your hand so that you could live in this land. Remember the giants that they slayed. Remember all the miracles that God did. The stilling of the sun, the water from the rock. So many more miracles. And he's reminding them, this generation. He doesn't go over all of it. But as he's talking to the congregation, and he's talking to his people, those memories are welling up. Remember, everything that God said, he has done. Not a single promise has ever failed. And if you guys remember the promise that God makes to them when they were still in slavery, the big three promises, if you guys were at one of our winter retreats, remember the crossing the River Jordan and slaying the giants? You know, the one sermon that I actually sounded like a pastor. Like the one really good time. But the three big promises God gave to them at that time. One, I will deliver you from the bondage of slavery. Two, I will lead you to a land flowing with milk and honey. A good place. A prosperous place. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. The big three promises. The three promises that he makes to Israel and he makes to every believer from there on. Everyone who's committed to him. Everyone who seeks and desires God. He makes those three promises. So let me take us back in a little history lesson for those who may not have been here as long at Risen Sun. Back to way when we were Robin. Way back. It's a little bit of a history lesson. When I first came, I've been going to this church for a long time. Came a Christian in 2006 with Young, and he led me here to this church, and when I wasn't at school, this was my home church. And I've seen many of you guys from when you were young until now, and you guys are adults. When I first came back in 2011, we had just had another split. Right? This would have been the second split in our church. Parents were fighting. Friends were leaving. Rumors were circulating about our church. Unfounded rumors. Put that out there. This is being recorded. And when I came back, Pastor Sam had just been here for a few months. You guys were still getting used to him. And, you know, we had been pastorless for a little while. And Pastor Sam heard the call of God and he came. And you guys were getting used to his, you know, serious, gospel, biblical-minded approach. And then his goofiness. You know, he's not afraid to make fun of you guys. And you guys were learning. You guys were all feeling each other out. He was trying to learn you guys. And you guys were trying to learn him. But if you remember, and it wasn't too long ago, church was not fun. Church wasn't fun. We were getting shuffled back and forth. You know, the church is having financial problems, and so we were in the Sunday school room at one point. We were in that back room all the way over there. We were using the adult service. The times were changing and flipping around. We had a lot of negativity from people who didn't want to be at church. Every year, we were seeing more and more friends leave. And for various reasons, we can't all say it was wrong. God calls people to different things. But some of them just ran away. And so it wasn't fun. We were lacking leaders. Pastor Sam was holding up the floor by himself, and Young was doing the worship. Sunday school was a mess. Poor Gloria, she was 16, doing it all by herself. It was hard for our church. But then God shows up just like he did for Israel. God showed up. And the promises that he made before, we stand on today. You know, we had church power struggles and splits. We overcame those. Before I came, early, I think it was 2007, there was a prophecy prayed over our church. An ugly, false prophecy. They said that our church would fail. They said that God would bring judgment on our unrighteous church. And today, our room is filled and we stand in defiance of powers and principalities and we say, no, God is with us. Or rather, we are with God. We are holding on. We are committed. There's lawsuits filed against our church. Some of you guys know about the church land situation. Baseless lawsuits. Lawsuits that have no credibility. Like I mentioned, we had youth pastors blowing up the group, taking away our leaders, and we were leaderless. When we did find another one, he abandoned his post. I won't mention names because it's not important. Right? But sometimes it's just too hard. And people, they get shaky and they leave. And God bless them. God works with them still. But it hurt us. And we overcame that. Pastorless for 2 years. You know. No one here to help Young. Young doing it all. Worship, Bible study, messages. And finally we came here and we got Pastor Sam and then, I came to help out. And we're having financial trouble. The church is having financial trouble. God blessed us. God provided a job for him. God provided opportunities for me. I can't tell you how many times my expenses for school exceeded my salary. You know, I'm in the red every year. Somehow I make it through. Somehow Pastor Sam makes it through. Somehow our church makes it through so that we can have a building, so that we have ministers who can come and to help you guys on Fridays and on Sundays. We don't know how God did it. The numbers don't work. The numbers just don't work. But God provided, and we're here. Multiple deportation scares. Multiple. It's so silly to say that, but our church really experienced some rough stuff. Pigeon, remember that on the bus? Crossing the state lines, getting ready to go to jail? God was there. Hunter on the papers? He was there. Multiple car accidents. People could have really got hurt. Your pastor included. He's okay. He's still standing. Still strong. Still with God. Still walking. Still in faith. Not afraid to drive. Major injuries. Elliot. Harvard. Breaking his collarbone. The one that scared me the most was when Chris got hurt at our retreat. Some of you guys don't know the entire story. It was me, Song, and Elliot back there panicking because Chris couldn't breathe. We were horsing around, he got hurt pretty bad. We had to call the ambulance, and we were so afraid. Our whole church prayed. You know what? He came back that night. Do you remember that? Do you remember the ridiculousness of the situation? The EMTs didn't know what was wrong with him. The hospital didn't know what was wrong with him. But we prayed. We prayed, and he came back in like 4 hours. When the ambulance was taking him away, we were thinking like, he's going to die. It's going to be on us. A lot of worried faces that day. And where was God? With us. God was with us. So the reason I'm reminding us this, let me take a step back. The most important promises he fulfilled were those three promises I told you in the beginning. He delivered some of us from slavery. He took us into the land full of milk and honey, and it was prosperous, and we are walking the Christian walk. We are living the Christian life. Not that there's no work to be done, but that God's there, and he's providing, he's giving us security and his presence. The last promise, he is our God, we are his people. The relationship that no one can ever take away from you. The one relationship that will never fail, his and yours. Not me with you guys, not Pastor Sam with you guys, not any of the ministers you've ever met. God and you. So God fulfills those three promises. Remember crossing the river, the metaphor for entering the Christian life? We did that with you guys. When I came in 2011, I won't say it, but many of us were not walking with the Lord. Many of us did not really know him. Many of us were just beginning to explore who God was. And yet now, you guys crossed the river. The ark and God's spirit went ahead and you followed. Now you're in that land. It's not all easy, but God's with us. And now you can even hear his voice, right? Some of you guys, the calling, the movings of the spirit. Now you know the relationship is not fake. It's not imaginary. We've seen God's work over and over and over again. And it's much like the book of John. I listed a handful of things. But if I were to list out every single thing that God did for us, there would be not enough space to record it. In those 3 years, 3 short years, how much more is God going to do for us in the future? Like I said, I'm reminding us the same way Joshua was reminding Israel. Remember what God did so that when future trials come, and they will come, when new challenges arise, when new seasons put you into an unknown territory, you'll know who to trust. You know where to look. You know what to do. Open up those eyes and get on your knees. When I thought about this coming season, honestly, I was afraid. You know, this is bigger than my move to Fredericksburg. This time, my dad's also sick. I have to give his health up to the Lord and trust him to take care of him. No friends, no contacts, no job. I'm just going there because God called. And when I thought about our church, for a long time, it was only me and Kisan. For a long time. And some weeks we were so stretched, we were like, how are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? And then 6 months ago, 8 months ago, when I told them, I mean, we knew it was coming up that I had to leave at some point for school. And I told them, hey, it's time for me to complete my education, guys. I'm talking to Pastor Sam and Corn and Pastor Troy in the meetings that we have, and so I have to leave. And at that moment, we all knew it's going to be a shaky time. How will you do it? And then I started to meditate. As I was coming up with this message, I started to meditate. Not chanting, not the Buddhist thing. Meditate, like, dwell on God's word. Just got to put that out there. Meditating on God's word. Reminding myself. Going over all the times he's been faithful. All the times that he's provided. All the times that he's delivered me. Delivered our church. Suddenly, supernatural peace comes. And I know it's going to be all right. Because God's with me. God's with you. God's with our church. And honestly, God has provided. Look around the room. You're just losing me. But how many more ministers have you guys gained in the last 6 months, 8 months? How many more leaders have stepped up and begin to put in the work? That's no credit to me, Pastor Sam. That's God. So I'm telling you all these things because you will need to remind yourself. At some point, in these next couple months, in these next couple years, it's going to be difficult. And you will need to remember all the things I listed here, all the things in your personal walk that you never told anybody what God delivered you from. The things that nobody knows was a problem. And God took you out of it. Out of that mind you play. Out of the yoke of slavery. Out of sin. Out of brokenness. You know what would be an easy way for us to find courage when it's going to be difficult? To sit here on a Sunday, on a Friday, and take a look around. Right? Israel, what they did to remind themselves, when they crossed the River Jordan, what they do? They took 12 stones, one for each tribe, put it in the river. This is going to remind us that God led us from slavery into his promise. This. You guys on Fridays and on Sundays are living memorials, living monuments. Don't believe me? Take a look right now. Take a look right now. Think about the people you see 3 years ago when Pastor Sam and I first came on. 3 years ago. I'll tell you what it's like. And I'm proud. I'm proud to say these things. Students who used to be forced to come to church, who came to church to play, now they come to learn more about God. Now they come to develop themselves in Christ. Do you know what it's like for a minister? When the students are like, all right, it's cool we have an activity today, but what are we going to do next week for Bible study? That's my testimony from my Bible study, guys. They're asking me, it's cool, great. All right, we have activities 1 week. That's fine. All right, 2 weeks. That's too much. Let's get back to Bible study. We want to know more about God. You know, students, at one time who could not pray more than, dear Lord, thank you for this day and this food. Okay, bye. Thank you. Amen. Students who could not pray more than that, now we pray on Friday nights. 30 minutes. And I pray with my eyes open. So I see you guys praying. You don't know what it's like for a minister to see that. We have another prayer meeting that comes on Sunday now. It's wonderful. It's a wonderful feeling to see what we built, what God has done through us. Students who were once angry troublemakers, now stepping up to be leaders. You don't know what that's like to see someone come all the way from down there, hurt and broken, alone. And now he knows it's part of God's family. So I'm leaving. But in the 3 years I've been here, you guys have become more than my youth group. You guys are my family. And I no longer call you my youth group, but I have called you friends.
Papa Joe.
It's sad. You guys get that joke? I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. He's just talking to the disciples. Yeah, making that joke. So I'm going to be in Virginia Beach. I'm not running away. I'm not ditching us. I'm not abandoning my post. I'm not leaving the flock to the wolves. You guys are now my friends. And so, if you should need my help, give me a call. I'm only 3 hours away. And who knows what, I don't pretend to know what God's going to do, so I'm not going to say, in so-and-so years, I'm going to go out to school, and I'm going to finish my school and come back here and do yada, yada, yada. And people are already saying, like, you're coming back to this church to do this and that. And I don't pretend to know God's will that far. But I do know what God is calling me to do. And we got internet, we got phones, we got all types of ways for you to reach me. And I'll reach out too. I'm going to be back. I'm going to visit. So, please call me. I want to know what's up. I want to see what you guys are like. We don't know what this church is going to be like in a year, in 2 years. But I want to stay in God's family with you. And some of us won't see each other until we're finally there in God's presence. We can catch up. And I can say, wow, look at what God did with you. I'm a proud, proud man. So is Pastor Sam. For the ministers, I'm going to read a verse from Galatians 6:9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. I'm going to read that one more time because I messed it up. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Many of the times we were growing weary and we pushed through. Pastor Sam, We sowed our butts up. And now look, we're reaping the fruits of our labor. 3 years. What's God going to do in the future? We don't know. But if we look back on what God has done, not one promise has ever failed. Not one. He has brought them all to fruit. The best one of all is when I saw each one of you guys cross that river. And it's not always easy. We still have giants to slay. We still have our homes to set up in God's kingdom. We are ushering it in until Christ returns. There's work to be done. But you guys crossed that river right behind that ark, right behind God's Spirit. And that's all I'm asking for. And so, just want to thank you guys for putting up with me for 3 years as I learned to do this, as I learned to be a minister. I want to thank Pastor Sam for modeling what it means to be a shepherd, fights off the wolves, weathers the storm. And so, one last thing, just remember, I'm not running away. I'm not even leaving this today. And so, the last thing is, if you guys got something to say, if you guys want some little extra blessing, I'm waiting to give it. So let me pray for us on Sunday one more time.